Good morning, boys and girls.
Try that again.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Much better. How many of you have been to Imprinted Portrait shows before? Okay, so you know that the show no longer provides worksheets, handouts, things like that. How many of you were able to do the download? Raise your hands high. Now, if you'll keep them up, Mike, can I ask a favor? If people have their hand up, would you give them one of these and put this in your place? For those of you, how many of you do not have the worksheet for this program? Let's try that again. Put your hands down if you got the download. How many of you don't have the worksheet? Okay. For those people, you put your hands down. I got them made this morning.
Yay.
They're 88 cents a piece, and you. Huh? Oh, now raise your hands if you need the if you did the download because you need a piece. If you don't have the worksheet, I had them made this morning, and I would like to be reimbursed at $1 a piece. They're 88 cents when you get them here. So if you want them, come up, leave me a dollar, take one with you. They're here till they run out.
There you go, sir.
It's self-service.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Did you get it?
What's that? There. Okay.
He's going to record it as an email address from Sydney.
All self-service. Hurry, hurry. Come on fast. This is my bus fare back to Maryland. Hey, who needs it? Come on up. Anybody who did the download, raise your hand if you didn't get the formula, the correct formula. Okay, and if you want a worksheet, they're $1. Come and get them. Did you get it? Really? Here. Bring it up. Okay, good morning to the program on pricing. printed and embroidered apparel, The Shocking Truth. My name is Mark Bennett. I'm a management and marketing consultant in the industry. I've been doing this for, starting this year, 29 years. This is what I do for a living. I work with screen printers, embroiderers, manufacturers, and distributors of equipment and garments. I do it everywhere, 49 states here, 8 provinces in Canada, a whole bunch of places across the pond, and Latin America. And I'm going to teach you about real-world pricing. I'm also the chairman of ShopWorks Software, which is the industry's largest software company for business software. And I mention that because in that program, part of our system has a spreadsheet pricing program. There are several other available in the industry. Or if you're good with a spreadsheet, you can do these things on your own. So should you just go buy a spreadsheet? My advice to my own clients, whether they have my program or not, my software, is I'm going to teach you how to do it the real way in the real world for real people. The program focuses on custom screen printed and apparel, screen printed and embroidered apparel. This is not how to price things for retail, which is a whole different story. How many of you loved algebra when you were in high school? How many of you thought you would ever use it again for the rest of your lives? Do we have anybody here with a strong financial background? Accountants, MBAs, finance types? If you are and you have questions, please raise them. Please challenge any concepts I'm about to deliver here. If you see any seats next to you, would you raise your hand because we have a few latecomers? There's seats down here. Who needs tickets? How many of you own screen printing equipment? Okay, more than half of us. How many of us own embroidery equipment? 3/4 of us. How many of us own both? Laser engraving? CAD cutting? Digital printing? Direct-to-garment printers? CAD cutting? How many of us do signs? What we're going to teach today works for all of that. And then we're going to talk about the real world after we get through the math. How many of you have been in the industry for more than 10 years? Wow, more than 20? And I'll give a special thank you to those veterans for teaching a lesson to some of the newbies who may be in the room, that you never stop learning in this industry, and sometimes you need to come back for a refresher. I'm going to go over a bunch of different concepts. We're going to shatter some myths. The first myth is you have to know what it costs to run your shop per hour to be able to do pricing. Have you heard that one? Okay, who teaches that one? People who have no background whatsoever in marketing, or finance, or who have ever done a price list. My dear technical consulting colleagues who are teaching in adjacent rooms say, you have to know what it costs to run your shop per hour. How many of you don't own any equipment and your promotional products distributors? Because by that line of reasoning, since you don't have a shop, you can't do pricing, I suppose. There's another myth that says you're going to do all your production in-house. And my hope in teaching you this model is that you sell so much, your marketing is so good, that you can't possibly do it all in-house. You're going to have to outsource some of it. Which means, what, are you getting that stuff for free if it's not in your shop? So the myth that you have to know what it costs to run your shop per hour is hooey. It has some applicability in pure contract operations. We're going to ignore it today. It's baloney. There's an awful lot of conventional wisdom in the industry about how you make money. We're going to go over how you make it, how you put it into your price formula, how you recover it. In the course of the day, I'm going to mention a special oath that most of you have never before heard in any course or article. How many of you read my articles? Brother magazine, stuff like that. I've never put this in my articles either, but You know, we have people come to us and they want us to do stuff real cheap. Matter of fact, they want us to subsidize their purchase. So there's an oath that we'll have to mention a couple times today. I'll tell you what it is, then if you'd like to take the oath, you can raise your right hand and be a witness. The oath is, I am allowed to make money. You want to try that with me? Raise your right hand and remember this one. Come on, gang. I am allowed to make money. I can't hear you. Make sure they hear. Ready? Try it again.
I am allowed to make money.
Okay, now let's go make some. In this formula, again, were those people actually said they liked algebra? Who were indicated in their high school yearbooks as most likely to take a life. How many of us were born into this industry? Were your parents were in it? You got 100 some people in the room and not a hand's raised. One. So we came from all kinds of different walks of life. I, by the way, was supposed to be an opera singer. And then I went on radio and I did a few other things. But I've been doing this for most of my adult life. I sold my first t-shirt in 1960, my first custom order for t-shirts in 1968. I was 2 years old. And I made money. In this model, in this formula, G stands for a garment, one garment as opposed to 12. We're going to price one garment. There's going to be all kinds of things left out that we'll get to later. Okay, one garment, you're pulling it off the shelf, you got it from a wholesaler, a mill, wherever. Has anybody here ever done a misprint? Has it happened? Oh, that's very romantic. Would you ask the social director outside to have somebody come in and restore the lighting? No necking. Has anybody ever misembroidered an item? Don't you have a stitch eraser to make it go away? Who pays for those mistakes? We do. Wouldn't you rather your customer pay for those mistakes? So, in my best Ross Perot voice, here's the deal. Thank you. Let there be light. Here's the deal. We're going to sell ourselves some insurance and pass along the cost to our customers. And that's the figure here for W, for waste and spoilage. And waste and spoilage covers, for the most part, preventable errors. What is the industry average in waste and spoilage? The actual...
3%.
Who said 3? Good guess. Any other guesses? The actual percentage is between 1 and 1.5%. And if you're screwing up 1 to 1.5% of your garments... it's okay, especially if you got somebody else paying to replace them. If you're screwing up more than that, it's coming right off your bottom line, isn't it? There is a trade-off, by the way, for speed and quality. And there are times when, lots of times, orders run perfectly. There are no screw-ups. The real world that creates that figure has to do with the fact that we actually screw up between 1 and 1.5% of our orders. A whole order goes bad. Somebody didn't proof it right. Somebody wasn't watching the machine. And how many other excuses can you figure out for why we screw things up? There are proofing systems, by the way, to dramatically reduce waste and spoilage. We're going to use a figure for waste and spoilage. That's a percentage that will be expressed in this formula. If I assign a value of 3% waste and spoilage, again, an outrageously high figure, that would mathematically be expressed as 1.03. There's the 1 plus 3%. There's also, this figure also encompasses the occasional mill irregular. Sometimes you get something out of a box. It's not common, but there's something wrong. I have a collection at home of mill screw-ups where I have a collar over here, walk like an Egyptian. I've got a sleeve coming out of the rib. Obviously, these are shirts made on a Thursday or a Friday at 4:30 in the afternoon. And oh, I have a hem, a bottom hem, looks like this. And on the box it says, Mark's Thalidomide Collection. All right, so now we're selling ourselves insurance. In this, if you'll follow the example with me, I'm going to assign a value of $3 to a garment that we're going to use here. Now, what can you buy for $3? Huh?
T-shirt.
What kind of T-shirt?
T2000 color.
Dark?
Dark.
Okay, dark color T-shirt, $3. Going to multiply that by 1.03, and if you do the math, that'll come to $3.09. We have now covered our screw-ups with a little bit of fat in there, too. Now, decorating cost. What does it cost to decorate one garment? Can anybody here, there's about 110 people in the room, can anybody here tell me that you have figured out how to assign the value for printing one garment or embroidering one garment precisely? Not a single hand is raised. And there are people who can approximate it. And if you had the most fantastic accounting in the world, you probably still couldn't do it. And if I did have an extra 6 hours in this program to make it an all-day workshop, I could actually show you how to go about measuring all those things. We can't do it in this program. You're going to have to take my word for it when I assign a value. The difficulties in getting those kinds of values derive from the fact that we have different equipment, different skill levels, different speeds of operation. To price what it costs to do something on a one-head embroidery machine and find out your production cost versus having a 6-head or a 12-head is dramatically different, especially when you start to look at the RPM of the equipment. And perfect efficiency in embroidery would be expressed as 1.0. Nobody runs at that. It would also mean you never turned your machine off, you never had a thread break. Has that ever happened? So again, trust me when I assign some values. In this order, which is obviously going to be a screen printing order, I'm assigning a decorating cost here of 50 cents. So my equation now for this $3 garment that we printed, probably a one-color job, is up to $3.59. We have ostensibly, theoretically, covered our material and labor. We haven't covered overhead. How many of us work from our homes? About a quarter of us. In the industry, it's almost half. And people who work from their home think, well, I don't have any overhead. If you're going to do pricing properly, you're going to have to make believe you have some and put it in there. How do we figure out what our overhead is? Well, you need good accounting. We pretty well can figure out our fixed costs, like anybody have equipment leases, rent, mortgage, insurance, all the other things that we have to do to keep our company afloat. But like if you have a lease on your equipment and you go away for 2 months, do you have to keep paying that lease? Can't you just call the leasing company and say, can I skip 2 months till I get back? No, you can't. Try and do that with your car payments. And soon enough, there's a repo guy at your house. Perhaps accompanied by a film crew. So I have worked out, unless you have real precise data on your overhead administration, I have what an accountant once referred to as Hoo-Hoo's Bennett Accounting. As a way for you to guesstimate what it is. And this is a fairly substantial company, the numbers I'm going to use for it. But that formula, as you see on page one, is X plus the total of X plus G plus X plus L plus G. X is fixed cost, things that recur constantly, and however you define them. L is labor, that includes benefits and taxes, things you're required to pay. And garments, in this equation, is what you would buy in a whole year. Now, I'm taking numbers for a company that's probably doing about $500,000 a year. That company has $75,000 in fixed costs. I'm dividing that by the same figure, $75,000 plus labor here is assigned or estimated at $100,000 a year. And total garment purchases in that year, $275,000. Again, this is voodoo. This is what's called in my field a quick ratio, something that consultants and mathematicians and otherwise other people observing a situation can look at some seemingly unrelated items and be able to extrapolate some sort of figure that helps them make other decisions. When I have to evaluate companies for their performance or for appraisals, and by the way, you can do this yourself. What did you used to do before you came into this world? An engineer. Well, you must have left for free. What do you
used to
do? Yes. Rented brass. Rented brass. What do you used to do? Huh? Building maintenance. So, from delivering here, renting brass, maintaining buildings and being an engineer, you could go into certain operations, other businesses, companies that do what you're familiar with, and in a matter of a few minutes, have a pretty good idea how they operate, whether they're making money, they know what they're doing, wouldn't you agree? As a consultant, I can go in, people say, I have no idea what my overhead is. I'm going to start adding up to what's my total. And I'll say, give me these figures. What you spent on your fixed cost plus your labor and your garment, and I can put those together and approximate a scientific number that would sort of yield this. And if you do the math on this, it comes, the result comes to 0.1666 forever. Accountants, MBAs, financial types, are we cool with this? Okay, thank you. I have been blessed.
Mark?
Yeah?
Do you include owner's salary in the labor?
How many of you get salaries?
Well, that's a good question. Well, it depends. If you're sort of like administrative sitting in your front office, yes.
This is just production itself.
Well, theory, but if you know, most of us wear several hats in our company. Our printing hat, our brewery hat, our phone hat, our sweep the place hat, and our marketing hat, and all these different hats. Theoretically, if you could say, all right, I spend 25% of my time on machines or fixing them, and 40% of my time in sales, and the rest in doing other things, you could parcel it out that way. And again, this is a 90-minute course. So the white-collar portion of your job, yeah, would be in there. The production labor would be in that figure. This would be in your fixed costs, your labor, and your purchases. It's a good question. I have to. Your name is
Tim.
Tim,
I have to give you money for that. So, you get good questions. How many of you have won cash awards from me in the past year or two? See, he really gives them out. It's not that much. All right. So, with your permission, I'm going to round this to 0.17. And if you were to look at a database of the industry of operating ratio data, there is a database. I'm the only person in the industry who maintains this type of research. Seriously. The average company spends about 17% in the data. So yeah, sort of fudged. I'm not telling you it costs 17% to run your company. And by the way, that's not a good figure. That's high. If it's 17 cents out of every dollar that comes in, helps you keep the door open and
then you got to buy garments, and you got all kinds of other things. How's there going to be any money left for you? Boy, it's quiet in here.
Remember that flood on a lot of make money?
Yeah.
How? So, to use the overhead administration figure of the formula, we then need to learn about reciprocals. Does anybody here a math major? Okay, because I get lectures on math majors. Well, Mark, it's technically not a reciprocal of A. Yes, it is. For our purposes, a reciprocal is two numbers that add up to 1. 0.55 plus 0.45 equals 1. The reciprocal of 0.7 is 0.3. The reciprocal of 0.2 is 0.8. And the reciprocal of 0.49, boys and girls, is 0.51. Did everybody get that? If you didn't, you're going to work in the shop forever, in the screen.
We're hooping and trimming.
It's a curse. So, if overhead administration is 17%, the reciprocal of 0.17 is 0.83, isn't it? Okay. So, now I'm going to divide our $3.59 by 0.83, and the correct answer is, if you look at your sheet,
congregation, please turn to page 2.
Is $4.33. In theory, we are now at break even. Covered our cost, bought a little insurance, covered our decorating, covered our overhead. Okay? Is everyone with me? This is not a time to lose this. Who did I owe money to? That great question.
Oh,
not
sorry.
You.
Oh.
Tim, was it?
Yes.
That's correct. Tim, this is our new 1% cotton golf shirt. That was made in the United States. It was made with all the cotton. Small.
You guys haven't seen them.
Tim, there's your money.
Yes. If you're just starting, you don't have to track your fingers back.
That's right.
Yeah, so you just take the industry average to start.
You can, or you can look at online price lists and you raise a pretty short question. The question is, what if I'm new to the industry, I don't have the data? And you have to do some research and guesswork. The brand is very little
current.
You can take a month, except your first month, I don't know anybody who's doing to make money.
No.
I don't think you're going to make money in the first 10 years. But they've got Plastisol or Rayon in their veins. They don't have anything else. But again, if you're a startup, you're at the mercy of the learning curve. So I would figure out, just look at some prices of the companies in the area. If I'm about to ask me on it, I'm going to rest with it. Okay, there's enough. Yes.
I'm sorry, if I didn't understand how you got the reciprocal.
Reciprocal. Two numbers that add up to 1. Okay. Okay. What's the reciprocal of 0.25? The reciprocal of 0.25 plus what equals 1?
0.75.
That's correct. Okay, let's go to the bonus round. All right, now, reciprocal of P for profit. Profit, what's that? Profit, it's sometimes that elusive thing that your accountant tells you at the end of the year, congratulations, you made money. And the first question we ask the accountant is, where is it? Right? What profits call, what accountants and government people call profit, and what we call profit are frequently different things. Profit to us is, do I have enough money to live, to eat, to buy stuff, to enjoy life, to make payroll? And if you don't know any of those things, well, you could probably work for the government or head it. You got a situation here where how much should we make? I'm going to assign a profit figure of 25%. And a lot of you old veterans would agree, man, if we could net out a quarter for every buck we took in, we are rocking and rolling, are we not? So the reciprocal of that 25 cents expressed as 0.25, the reciprocal would be 0.75, just as I asked before. So now I'm going to take 433. Don't look at this S, it's coming back later. 433 divided by 0.75 equals, what's it say on your sheet here? 577. Everybody see what that is on the sheet? Okay, now in theory, we've covered all our costs and we made some money. Did you hear that, God? Anybody have salespeople? Anybody thinking of adding salespeople? Or what to do when somebody says, hey, I'd like to sell for you? I call them commercial accounts or events. So how do you build a percentage in? What do you do, take less money? I'm going to tell you here, engineer the commission into the formula for your pricing. And if you don't have salespeople, you're not going to pay any commissions. You get to keep the money. Isn't that fascinating? What's the average commission in the industry? Answer, about 10% on catalog quantities. That's up to a certain amount. But as you know, you get up to certain numbers, 25 dozen, 50 dozen, people don't ask you for prices, do they? They tell you. And they expect that you can match it or beat it. And those same people think if they call you and you say, I'm getting $7, and they call her and she says, I'll do it for $6.50, and call this guy, he's going to do it for $6.50. They can keep negotiating the boundaries to where they get shirts and money. Because you're subsidizing them, and you kind of like want to call them up and say, hey, man, will you come down? I want to write a check for $144. How come? Well, I just figured the price you beat me up for, I'm going to lose a buck a shirt. This way, at least I'll save my machine time. Am I making it up? You know these people? They lurk everywhere. I have a term for them, which I can't say because this is being recorded. It has something to do with the profession of prostitution. Now, that 10% figure, again, for catalog quantities, it's not necessarily the right figure or a correct figure. It's the most prevalent figure in typical catalog quantities. So 10% would be 0.10, the reciprocal of which is 0.9. Everybody got that? So 575 divided by 0.9, or 0.90, is $6.41. Now, we've gone through one example. What's most important is if you see the elements in this. Gary, real quickly.
It is. If you're a sole proprietor and you don't have a commission, C would equal 1.
C would equal, in your case, 0.
0.
I would tell you to build in, well, 1.
Yes,
divided by. I'm telling you to put in a commission. If somebody may approach you, or in your case, you might have a built-in discount. Anybody ever ask you for a discount? Does that happen? Do people have asked you for a discount? I'm going to show you how to get discounts without taking all of your clothing off. Now, there's one figure we have not imputed into the formula, and that is freight inbound. How many of you rarely, if ever, pay inbound freight for your garments? Okay, you're either very smart buyers and probably volume buyers, and even if you're a small buyer, virtually every wholesaler in our industry, if you buy a certain threshold figure, $200-$300, you get free freight. Just like that. You're saying, well, I only need to spend $81. You know what? It's not a crime for a city
to buy 200 to get the freight free. Can you get burned buying white t-shirts or black? Maybe blue golf shirts. Just buy up.
See, I don't have $120 extra to spend.
Then you ought to consider maybe opening a luncheonette or a condo truck. You're going to have to put some money aside at the beginning, and at least you get to keep it on paper on the shelf until you convert it to cash.
So I'm assigning, and by the way, some of us pay freight on every orders because we don't know the game, or we're new. Is anybody here paying the piece price to a wholesaler? You're not getting the dozen price or the case price? Because in that case, and I know you're probably embarrassed to raise your hand, but you're getting screwed. Nobody pays that. Home hobbyists who buy four pieces at a time, that's who that number is for, that piece price. So I'm going to estimate a ridiculously low figure on t-shirts, because a lot of us do pay freight on t-shirts, because it may not be part of the deal, and call it a dime. Some people say, we don't pay any. For others say, well, I'm paying 30 cents. It's a dime in the formula, okay? Which added to the 641 will make it 651. With your permission, I'm going to round that to $6.50. Okay, we see how we got that number? Now, if you had a spreadsheet calculator or a spreadsheet program, you can take some of these other costs with some magic dust, distribute them through, add them all up, take different margins in different quantities, and you can make up a price list. And I'm going to tell you, for all the years that I've been doing this, this is how I do it. This is how I teach people to do it for their primary items, which amounts to 30 items or less in most companies. 30 different styles. It's a couple t-shirts, a couple shorts, golf shirts, fleece, poplin, denim, bags, three bags. Two got the real flat and cheap. One has a gusset. Woohoo. And then we have a gym bag, a roll bag, whatever you want to call it, barrel bag. But you add up the core items in the industry, and I can tell you 30 items amount to over 98% of all purchasing. All you got to do with brands and things like that. Well, some people do. I tell you, don't bother, because people buy what we tell them in most cases, don't they? The exception to that are the very sophisticated buyers who know all this stuff. They've been doing it for years. They're heavyweights. And they buy big orders. They might be the purchasing agent for apparel at American Express Promotions. But the rest of the world, I want some t-shirts. And you tell them the brand. Or you don't tell them the brand, just give them what you want. And they say, thank you, don't they? So, $6.50, what do I do with that number? Well, this is real world pricing. The shocking truth, I have a database that you're going to benefit with two pieces of knowledge. The average screen printed or heat transferred order in our industry, if you take all the units and divide them by the total number of orders, the real picture is our average order on screen printed stuff is 4 to 6 dozen units. That's not to say you don't sell a dozen or 100 dozen. But when you do the math in the whole industry, aggregate numbers, 4 to 6 dozen. Now here's a typical price matrix. From here, 288 and so forth. I just calculated that design. We did it together, and we're at $6.50, right? Two things I have to know about that quantity between 4 and 6 dozen to recognize. One, we have to be competitive, don't we? Two, we have to make money, because that's bread and butter. So where do we put that 650? You could put it here or here. I'm feeling good today. I'm going to call it 48 pieces. So that $3 t-shirt, now with probably a one color print, is $6.50. Is that how you have to do pricing? No, there's some people who do a la carte pricing. The garment plus decoration plus art, screens, digitizing. It's all a la carte. I'm teaching a way that I happen to advocate that you include the first color. And then you have options for second colors, and we'll get to an embroidered design momentarily. The civilians, people who are not in our industry, civilians think if they buy more, it'll cost less. So we're going to satisfy their expectation. And at 72, I'm going to lower the price. That's a nice order. It's a $400 or $500 order, isn't it? All right, so I'm going to knock off, let's say, a half a buck. Some people only knock off a quarter. And if they buy less, they expect to pay more. How much more? By the way, how many of you, for an order of six, four dozen, $3 shirts, would be charging about $6.50, give or take? How many of you? How many would be charging more? How many would be charging less? You're the people who are watching it. By the way, if we were doing a national price list, which I do twice a year myself, because it goes by subscription to various people, I can tell you this is about a national price list that we're constructing here. So at 24, it's going to cost more. Should it cost $7.50? How many say $7.50? $8? Come on, it's 24. $7.50. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Who said that? I have to say thank you. Appreciate it. You don't get any money for it, but thank you. Okay? Now, at a dozen, and I do recommend in screen printing or heat transfer, a dozen is your minimum. There are other people who do one. There's some people, no, we don't touch orders for under three dozen. If you call T Formation in Tallahassee, their minimum order is 600 pieces. It's a different operation. So you can make your minimum lower, but that, by the way, there are people who start out with a dozen, and then after a year or two, they say, I'm tired of these stupid dozen orders. Our minimum is two dozen now. And a year or two later, we're going up to three dozen. And that's called in management, inside-out thinking, what's convenient for you. They're paying for it. But when you raise your minimums, there's an opportunity cost. With the biggest order I ever got, the biggest client I ever got, when I was on your side of the aisle, I was getting a call on a Saturday afternoon from a friend who worked at a coal company, and she needed a dozen shirts because they had some visitors coming from Japan to look at their facilities in southwestern Virginia. And by the end of the first year, I sold them $260,000 of stuff. And I had the account for 6 years, and it grew from there. But if my minimum would have been three dozen, I said, I'm sorry, I have to buy three dozen. No, we don't know how many. So, word to the wise. Now, how bad at a dozen? What should we charge?
$9.50.
Who said that? Okay, I would like to consult with our sales manager, and I'm going to bring him in. Ben, come on in. Let's introduce you to our sales manager. His name is Ben Dover. Let's hear it for Ben. Ben agrees, $9.50. Boy, I feel like Bob Barker. I know he hasn't been here for years, and it's, what's his name now? And going out of the gross, $5.50, $5.75, and we could keep doing it. Now, by the way, would you like a 4% increase in sales instantly? Would that pay for your course today? Okay, magic dust. Holy water. 4% increase in sales. I had an accountant say to me, my accountant, in 1976, hey Mark, you know, you and the egg people think in dozens. Me and the egg people, to which I responded, goo goo ka-choob. As in, I am a walrus, I am the Eggman, I'm the Eggman, I am the walrus. A&E left out people who sell baked goods and toys who sell in dozens, but he said, you and the egg people. And I would not budge from a dozen. Certainly a wonderful archaic measurement from medieval times in England, but I had to agree with him. Normal people don't think in, and how many of us can go 12, 24, 36, 48, you know, dozens up, you know, the yin-yang. They think 25, 50, 75, 100. 24 became 25, 48 became 50, 75, this became gross, or gross became 150. And I don't use the intermediate quantity. By the way, these are the quantities I recommend, because I can tell you they provide sales incentives. And if you're wondering, well, who uses prices like that? I have hundreds of price lists at home from clients, which as of last week, I've worked with 615. These are price lists. I've got like numbers and squares and civilians to greet them. Startup companies to do them. Here's one of them. 1990. Which I'm donating to the Smithsonian. And all their quantities go 12, 25, 50, 100. Nobody.
Usually goes to 150 there.
Not nobody, but most people, when they're calling up, and you know, they're buying 68 pieces. And you say, yeah, well, if you buy 72 or 75, you see the difference in the price? Enough of them will say, okay. Other people, it's amazing. They'll come back and say, do you know it is cheaper to buy 75 pieces than to buy 71 at the 50 price? And they think they're making this, like, you know, enlightened discovery. Yeah, lady, we know. It's okay. Let's look at an embroidered example, and you'll see on the page that has the word example at the top, we've got figures for embroidery, and I need an official Price Waterhouse function who's going to be our official calculator. Huh?
I have a question. So how do you negotiate
That's going to be a supplemental thing that will come in that an additional cost that can come under that decorating thing, which I can't do in a 90-minute program. Okay? So, embroidery. I'm imputing, I got an $8.25 golf shirt. I'm putting in a waste percentage, waste and spoilage of 3%, outrageously high for embroidering. And if I take 825 and multiply that by 1.03, I'll get what? Who's our official calculator? There we go. Thank you. Meet Joel from Gold Coast in Australia.
$8.50.
And do they use Arabic numerals in Australia?
Arabic.
You're not using the Roman numerals? Okay. $8.50. Bought our shirt, paid for some waste. I'm assigning a decorating cost here of $2.45 for 7,000 stitches. How'd you get that figure? Well, the going rate from commercial contract embroiderers to their best customers is about 30 cents a thousand. This is a little bit higher. The going rate in the trade is between 30 and 50 for contract embroidery within the trade. Now, my question, why we even do things on a per thousand basis, do you know how ancient that technology, that the thinking is? Some of you have no idea what I'm holding here.
Embroidery tape.
Don't let you
find out
what you do.
This is an embroidery tape.
How many stitches do you think are here?
1,900.
It's amazing.
And we're still pricing this way per thousand.
The part of the higher the stitch count, the longer the sew-out, though.
Right? The longer the stitch count?
The longer the sew-out.
Yeah. question? I'll now look for Beck. Give me a question.
So you're asking why are we basing it on the...
Because today you've got technology where you scan something and it's done, you're digitizing. And then the time of your machine has to do with your RPM, the number of heads, how efficient you are at prepping the order and trimming it. So using this per thousand stuff, it's the convention of the industry. I can't change that.
But a 50,000 stitch logo is going to take a lot longer than a 5,000 stitch logo.
Depends on the RPM of your machines. And, of course, there are people who say, wow, we had an 850-piece cap order, and we did it in 2 weeks on our single head. Okay? That's nuts. But they were happy. That should be contracted out. That's why the pricing is more art than science, and we're coming to that conclusion. But let's continue with this formula, if you will. 850 and 245 is 1095. Get ready, Joel, because now it's getting funky. We're going to divide 1095 by the overhead figure here, which is 17%, the reciprocal of which is 0.83. 1095 divided by, 0.83 is how much?
1319.
And would you say that into the microphone?
Yeah.
1319.
But you got that? 1319. We love it. Are you single?
No.
But you're here by yourself, right?
Yeah.
Girls, he's here by himself. Now we're going to divide that. Once again, I'm putting in 25% profit, so the reciprocal of that is 0.75. So 1319 divided by 0.75 equals?
$17.58.
$17.58.
$59.
Move following along. $17.58 divided by commission here at 10%, or 10%. And so 1758 divided by 0.9. 1953. And I've got a figure here for freight in of a quarter. 30 cents. So that's 1983. For the sake of argument, I'm gonna round that to $20. Cool? Where's that 20 going? Well, aggregate data figure, the average embroidery order in our industry, what puts bread and butter in our table in custom work, is 2 to 3 dozen. Again, you might do 3 pieces, you might do 300 dozen. So I got to be competitive down here, between 2 and 4 dozen here. So I got $20. Bought a golf shirt for $8.25, bought a little insurance, covered my cost, decorating the thing, $20. Where should I put it? How many say I should put it at 25? How many say at 50? How many aren't voting? Okay. Boy, this is like the American electorate. Okay. What do you say?
25.
25. Okay. $20. And for 50 pieces, that's a nice size order. You're talking about almost $1,000 here. $17, I'll say 18, just to be disagreeable. And down at the 12 quantity?
30.
Ben!
25.
Ben's in a good mood today. He said 26.50. Like, think about that. You know, you got leases, you got overhead, you got all kinds of stuff. The shirt's $8. You're going to take risks. You're going to do all kinds of things on it. And hopefully you'll net out $10 a piece or more. That's how pricing is done in the real world. How many would be charging, say, $25 to $30 a dozen for an $8 shirt? You were low last time. Okay? How many would charge less? How many would charge more? And by the way, I think these prices, that price is a little high. That's because Ben was on drugs and didn't get none last night. So, anyhow, as you move down, it's going to come down something like this. But you have to remember, especially when you're facing somebody, that I am allowed to make money. Okay, so far so good. Now, we did a lot of math. How important is it? Not very, because let's get to the truth of the matter, the shocking truth. You don't set your prices. The marketplace does. You have competitive pressure that's going to impact them. So how do you get what you think is a justifiable price? You need to add the element of value to your product. You do that by differentiating your company through a pack. Lots of different ways to do that. We're talking marketing here. I'm going to do something that I do in all the shows that I speak at, about 12 U.S. and Canada a year. And I do once or twice a month in corporate training. I refer to it effectively as phone sex. But when you answer the phone the way you would in your company, if I were a prospect calling for a price, killingly,
you're the
company.
You're the provider. I
recommend you
for it.
The name of your company?
Oh.
Hi,
this is shirts now.
Shirts now.
What can I
do
for it?
Can we get the price of those t-shirts? Can you paint the logo on? What do they run?
How many shirts are you looking for?
50, maybe 60.
What color?
Dark blue.
Maybe.
Printed or embroidered?
Oh, you know, where you put the paint stuff on.
Printed?
Yeah. So what do they run? I'd get them for the company.
Oh, between $8 and $10.
$8 and $10, okay.
How many colors?
And
how much size?
About 2 weeks.
And any other charges?
Possible setup charges. Screen
what kind of setup?
Screen charge, generally per color.
Screen? What's the screen for?
Well, that's how we print the shirt, actually.
Right. And we do this. Well, we have our logo.
it's all computerized.
It's only four letters. Yeah, S O N Y. Southern New York. Let's have a nice round of applause for our first victory. To overcome your pain. And your name is?
Clay.
Clay. That's correct. On to the bonus round. Okay, let me try that again with somebody else. Ding, ling, 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 ling.
Important people, this is Peggy.
Yeah, I need to get a price on some golf shirts. Maybe a soda design one.
How many were you thinking?
Probably. 30 or 40.
All right. Do you have artwork available?
Artwork? It's just our logo.
Okay. Do you have it in a JPEG format?
We haven't had what? We haven't even met yet,
So how many colors is your logo?
It's just, it's like a light blue.
Okay.
Yeah, the stitching thing.
Perfect.
Okay.
And where are you going to put it on your golf shirts? You want it just in front left of your chest?
Over
all
the
right.
Car. Yes.
Okay. And our room will be provided.
You probably have it on your TV at home or something.
Okay.
Four letters.
Great.
And one.
Okay. Any specific type of shirt that you want to use?
Something half decent that the cable is cool.
Yeah.
No junk, but kind of dirt bag.
Okay.
there were the kids in high school who carried that big TV that had the green slide projector, big pink cable installer. So how much ballpark did he run?
Ballpark, we could between probably $22 and $25.
Okay, and how long does it take to get them?
We could have that to you once our
purpose is
approved,
and we're going to go on that. Okay, and do you take paper? Thank you. Nice round of applause. No, I'm not going any further. Yeah, Okay, so how much of the cost would like to sew the line?
The embroidery is going to depend on the number of stitches that you have in it. So if you have a very complicated
line, it's going to help a little bit more. Okay, stop. This young lady, and she was starting to get into it, like, depending on how many stitches. Well, yeah, 38,000 stitches on the left chest, it's going to cost. But every single one of our companies that sells embroidery has a statistical norm with a predictable deviation. And it's up to 5,000, 7,000, 8,000, and that's how you should be pricing embroidery. Because when somebody says to me, oh, we can't get in our price because I have to see our artwork, I go, thank you. And I call the next company on the list. Oh, what happens if they're including 7,000 stitches and the design comes in at 7,490 stitches? You eat 490 stitches. Because there's another order will come in at 6,510. And nobody goes up and starts doing one. People buy a book but they love it. It's not magic. It has a feel. It's three-dimensional. You can touch it. Screen printing for blind people. So why get hung up on having to see this, that, and the other? Well, what a lot of us do is make it difficult for our customers. We're still friends? What about art and screen and digitizing? Well, most of us charge for that a la carte. When I was on your side of the aisle years ago, I used to include everything. And all my products. Because I thought like a customer. I said, don't do this. Separate this and that and that. Tell me how much they're going to cost. And I'll divide it by however many I need to get. Right? And if I had to do it again today, I'd do it a lot differently, because I always sounded artificially high. And I gave discounts for reorders since I didn't do the art again. Well, how do we charge for digitizing?
How many of us use the terrible in our order forms that they digitizing?
They do that? Okay. Who owns the digitizing when you write digitizing or digitizing charge?
They do.
So what word do you need to add? Digitizing. Preparation. Now you own it. By the way, I do lots of litigation. And that's one of the key things about, if you went to small claims court, you know, if they ever come to you and said, I'd like my disc or my tape, you hold the tape, that dinosaur thing, I want my digitizing back. What does that mean? Translation, I'm taking my embroidery business elsewhere. So what do we do? We give it to them? How many of us give it to them? Some of us do that because they're hell with it, you know? Here's the door, lady. Don't come back either if you're ugly. Okay? Your design sucks. We tried to improve it, she wouldn't let us. You know that. We could say, hang on a sec, go in the back, edit the file and program a few thread breaks. That would be fun. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Okay? So we're not going to do that. Somebody else could say, well, let me take a magnet. Because they're still using, you know, tapes, and a magnetic tape. And they run a magnet on it. They take the ions off. And they say, put your hands out, would you? Here's your ions. Go take them to the next embroiderer and load them into your computer. You put digitizing preparation, you own it. And there's wording for this that says they...
If it's custom, why do you care?
Huh?
If it's custom, why do you care?
Well, there are those of us who, just about all of us, who undercharge for our creativity. And I don't want to make it easy for my competitors. And there are those of us, perhaps you, who say, you know what, here, take it, goodbye. Others want their pound of flesh. And I could be that, you know, some of us are schizophrenic. Yes.
Well, all the digitizing, you set up all the design to work with your machine, your way of moving, your way and everything. They take it to somebody else, those digitizers are out there and say,
you know that, okay? And again,
The moral or ethical issue is a personal thing. The business issue, you know, one side or the other. Has anybody ever had the indignity of somebody coming in and saying, I want my screens? Because you put screen charge?
Well, if you put screen preparation charge, it solves who owns it, especially in court law.
And if you want to give them the screen preparation, you can go in the back. If you still got the screen up, get a razor blade. Scratch the emulsion off. Put it in an envelope. Okay? And say, here's your screen preparation. Take it to your next screen printer and have him or her arrange it on the mesh just as we did. All of these in the back. So those are a la carte things. Some of us don't charge for digitizing. My clients generally don't. Because they use it as marketing. They either build it into the price or they absorb the cost. Because when they go somewhere else, if they want to price it, fine. It's just that and the other. And, oh, we need an $85 setup charge. What's that for? To digitize. Really? Well, can you get it from another embroiderer? I'll ask. Say hi. See? Am I my embroiderer? Am I digitizing? Well, I didn't charge you for it. So I'm keeping it. Go, okay, well, I guess I'll stay with you. That's what they do. Another phone call. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Hello,
morning,
sir. Great
embroidery. Yeah, I need to get a price on some shirts, huh, Charlie?
What's the quantity you're looking at getting?
About 50.
Screen printing, do you want to get?
Screen printing? Let's face it, we do art, stand there for free, don't we? If they wanted the same thing from an art preparation service, it costs a whole lot more. Of course, most of what we do is manipulate objects and text. And some of us have contracted out our art department to a company like, oh, say, CustomInk.com. There's thousands of screen printers, and we're just, you know, just go there, design your shirt, pick the color, print it out, and then you have. That's really what thousands of companies are doing. Not a knock on anybody.
Well, change horses here for a minute because I don't like the way you're answering the phone. You answered like everybody else. You're a commodity.
That's how everybody, you know, the civilians look at us as commodities. You all do the same thing, don't you? You all buy the same shirt.
Most of you have a catalog that looks identical. It's just got your name different on the cover than the other guys. So if you're a commodity, if you're buying white bread, are you going to buy the most expensive white bread? You're making grilled cheese for the kids. It's white bread. They're only going to eat half of it, if that. Right? So what we say and do on the phone is a first entry point.
Might be our website, might be our showroom. But when somebody has their first encounter with us, they have to be taught we're a little different. We're better. So would you call me and I'm gonna answer the phone and you wanna buy some shirts from me, okay?
Ding ling ling ling.
Hemorrhoids can send me.
Yes, I'd like to purchase some shirts.
Great.
I'll
be happy to help you. My name is Mark, and yours is?
Well,
anybody else ask me who I am?
Lesson? Teaching moment? And you've got a sheet there that says contact name, get some other information.
Again, great. I'll be happy to help you. I smile. These are all very critical words. I do. I vow to you. We've lost you, maybe. We have happy. I look forward to doing this. I like what I do. Because sometimes I call and people, yeah, how many you need? Huh? You hear the machines in the background? And a baby crying?
Oh, is that the real world?
No. What color you want? How many color? Do you know how many stitches are in your design? Yes, as many as the stars in the sky. Great, I'll be happy to help you. Just say your name, my name, your name, and yours is. And if she has to, and what is your name? And if she has to think about her name, I say, let me mark it. Yours is. Tell me, who is that?
Better.
It is. Now, has anyone in this room ever done anything like that? As a customer, call a competitor? Bad. That's not. Do you like when that's done to you?
But it may have been me who's doing it.
By the way, if you want to end, or if you want to do some of the same exercise from the landline, dial star 67. You'll hear the phone beep twice. That is able to call our ID on the other end of the line. Soon call your competitors. I know people come to find programs like this have never, ever called a competitor yet for the parts. Wilma, when do you need these?
I need them this weekend.
Okay, now, I asked that, and we know that that could impact the price, especially if you have a relation or something in. I asked it because I'm going to have a short conversation, 15, 20 seconds. Oh, what kind of, you have a special event coming up?
Yes, we have a golf tournament.
Oh, how much is it to bring a foursome?
$200.
Okay, good. Give me 10 foursome. No. I made a little thing. Oh, is it like free hot dogs and stuff?
Yeah.
You chat for a second or two, that's all. You're not going to, if you're chatting longer than that, you don't have time to do anything. You're not any work. Okay, now I'll get to the. By the way, is this for your company or an organization?
Organization.
And the name of the organization, so I can jot it down? Whatever. The ABC Society. Did anybody ask me the name of my company when I was calling? Or my organization? And all you have to do is say, and this is your company organization? And what is the name of it, so I can jot it down? Normal people, civilized people, will cooperate with you. If they have to think, oh, name my organization. There's our competitor again. Then I'm going to go through how many you need, what colors, budget, whatever. And before I let the fish off the line, Wilma, I thank you for the opportunity to hopefully do business with your organization. I'd like to confirm this in writing. What's your email address? You would give it to me, right? Okay. Email address. And I'm also going to send you our custom catalog and our company price list and some incentives to help you save money on your next order, perhaps your first order. What's your zip code and your mailing address? I didn't say. What time do you get home after work? What kind of car do you drive? I asked for her zip code and her mailing address. And it's a normal transaction. Normal people will give it to you. There's some people say, I ain't giving no information. Well, we have other people who don't give them information on the phone. Because one of the things I usually use, by the way, thank you, Wilma. I owe you some money. Sometimes people say, when I'm calling for prices, in either programs like this or phone training, we don't quote over the phone. We don't quote over the phone? Why not? Because it's a matter of national security. Think about every big company in our industry, the biggest, the most successful, the most profitable. And every single one of them has a price list. A price list that a customer can see online or have and hold, take home, read, understand, compare. You know, some people need pricing when you're not around.
Anybody here ever worked at 9:30 at night?
You have? 11 at night? Worked overnight, never left the office? Some other people need prices when they're working at night or weekends, and you're not there. And you'd like to go to your website. Most websites from the typical company industry, in our industry, has no pricing. What do you do when you go to websites that have no pricing? You go to the next one. That's like these other websites where you want a price, you have to fill out all this stuff and give them specs. And then they'll get back to you.
If you're worthy.
And what do you do when you see those things? When you're online looking for a price, you want a price now. Why don't people in our industry have price lists? It's too hard to do. The first time you do a price list, it's murder, particularly on other people who may be murdered. You're not more nice to live with the first time you do a price list. Anybody remember way back when you did your first one? And then your account said you're not making any money? They had to do it. How many people have price lists? Wow. This is the highest percentage I've ever seen. 10% of the room. In the industry, it's 5% or less. Actually have a price list. And that counts price list that people can use internally. And when I'm on the phone asking for 60 shirts with a one color print, and people have to calculate. And screen printers, by the way, hum when they calculate. Okay, well, let me work up a price. With a speaker years ago at this program, somehow she got to speak. She was a floor operator at a big embroidery company, and they needed somebody to talk about training salespeople, so somehow they got her. They said, now the first thing you have to do with salespeople is they need to work in your shop on the floor for about 2 weeks. Huh? How many of us would take that job to go into sales so we can work on her floor for 2 weeks? Show me, give me an hour or two, I know what I got to do, I appreciate it. So now the next thing you have to do with these people is teach them how to do pricing. Oh, yeah? All the sales forces I work with, nobody does pricing. They have a price list. And when there's something that needs to be priced that's not on the list, and instead of costing $3, it costs $6, we say, you know the item, because we're just pricing these 30 core items. We say, you know, what you have for, C300, the Gildan color shirt with one color print, double it. Costs twice as much. Although then when you get the higher priced articles, like jackets, and this is where the spreadsheet calculator price systems are just not effective, rather ill-advised in my point of view. You get jackets that, a $15 jacket starts costing like $40, $50. With jackets, you look at your costs, what the market gets, and you start putting dollars on them, not percentages. Like if I buy a $20 jacket and it's embroidered, and I can have it done at the factory by somebody else, and end up with a $10 bill, would that be a cool thing for 100 jackets? You don't have to touch them, somebody else is all at risk. And the money's good for that customer. At that point, I'm throwing a $10 bill on it. My Alexander Hamilton markup. And sometimes we have our Andrew Jackson markup. Or our Ulysses S. Grant markup. These are famous Americans. Counterfeit bills.
Do you have any Canadians here?
Who's my Canadian? One.
Where are you from?
Alberta.
Where are you from?
Nice to meet you. Anyway, all right, the pricing. You respect the customer's intelligence when you give them a price, when you have a price list, when you can see it online. What else am I? By the way, if you have any questions, I have a few minutes, but we have a couple other details here. Where it says, pricing is not an exact science. Okay? Do you know what things go for in your area? Do you know who the bottom dwellers are who will do any order for whatever price they can do? And there's nothing you can do about it in the long run. Fortunately, they will put themselves out of business, and a year later we get to buy their equipment real cheap at the sheriff's suit. It has to do, your solution has to do with better marketing, positioning yourself to be thought of as, they're a little high, but they're worth it. And that's every client that I work with who's in custom screen printing and embroidered apparel is positioned to be thought of as they're a little high, but they're worth it. But they are. Their art's better. Their embroidery is better. Most embroidery in our industry is boring. Well, it's better than boring screen printing. But it's flat. It's painting with thread. And we have embroidery, some embroidery teachers and writers saying, we need to learn to cut the stitch count so the customer can save money. And the work will look lousy. Oftentimes you need to add some stitches to bring it to life, to make it pop. And big separator to men from the boys, with little letters and embroidered design, some of them are hideous. And then you see from a really good digitizer, wow. And civilians need to see good stuff versus everybody else's stuff. If you've got the good stuff, you can get more money. And you get more loyalty from your customers. You get more referrals. That's how you make money in this business. Now, for those people, again, who have been asked for a discount, that happens to some of us, best way to give a discount without disrobing for a customer who deserves it because we think they're going to be good for our company, we're allowed to make money, they're going to be regular, we may move them to the next column. We may, as promotional products companies do, give them an end quantity price if they give a certain minimum, perhaps with or without setup charges. Just like do we charge rush fees? The people we don't know, we're just putting a gun to our head? Yeah. For our good customers with bread and butter on our table year-round? No, we take care of them. Question?
What about the opposite scenario? In your case, this room probably has had the customer that probably deserves the PIA charge, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So is it okay to upcharge that customer because you know there's going to be more?
Oh, this is a professional program. Of course.
And my point is that an advisable way to fire a customer that in the long run is costing you money?
This is a professional program. I can't agree to that. Yeah, there's certain customers. When you see them coming, you go onto your desk and tell your subordinates, please advise him. I died Saturday. I've been in the ground for 3 days. And we have a special price list for him. And he can call Ben's number personally. Yeah, they're those people. And I don't believe in overcharging, necessarily. Some people, what the heck. I know I didn't give you the answer you wanted to hear, but you understand. Okay. Questions? Yes.
I have a large percentage of college kids who bring in those garments. Ooh!
You want them to bring in the
garments? No, I don't want them, but they do. Because Walmart has it for $5.
Okay. And what do you charge them?
I've been charging them basic price. Here's my garment price, and then here's your application price. Application price stays the same no matter if I still have the garment.
Your name is
Amy.
I owe you money for that. That was like soulful. People bring you their garments. They go to Walmart or Sam's Club, Costco, and they want you to bring. They want you to decorate with your equipment that you invested heavily in, that you went through the learning curve, you do a lot of work, you have your own customers who let you make money, and then you get these people? Well, and by the way, I'm talking about end users. Doing contract work within the trade is fine, a noble thing. When the end user comes to us, that's like an end user going to Outback.
taking a steak out of their purse and saying, here, buddy, cook it. Homie, don't play that game. We're not in that business. Now, if you've got a retail embroidery shop, and you want to, yeah, go ahead. But when they come in, then there's a service charge. And Ben assigns a service charge of either
what you would have charged had you sold them the item. You know, so you're making your own money. Or a flat service charge of $3 for handling. You got to count them. I'm going to have to clean them. And some fancy goods, you take out pins. Remember that stuff? Pins and tape and all kinds of stuff. And that service charge might be $10 for the top shirt. So, no, I don't like that kind of stuff. And I think that, you know, people are trying to beat us. And they're welcome to do that. This is America. But you don't really want to do business with them. So, using your name is Clay.
Yes. Clay's term, I'm going to fire a customer. Here, let's let them fire himself. Or let them realize that, you know, we sell that too. I know when I make these calls, some people say, well, are you bringing in the garments? I even ask. The money in this business is made from selling the garments, not the decoration. Yes.
How do you deal with multiple colors, multiple locations? I mean, that's kind of they're
add-ons.
You just add on for
yes. So there'll be a per location charge, original colors. And again, there's more than one pricing system. Some people say, well, I take the price from Sanmar and I double it. Then I have sliding scale on my decoration, or straight scale. Because if you look at Land's End's catalog or LL Bean, you know, the golf shirt's $39.95, and you want embroidery on it, it's $8. And if you want to embroider on 80 shirts, it's $39.95 plus, you know, the embroidery, same price. There's more than one right system. The one I'm talking about here is the one that tends to make people more money. And again, your area may be different. And as far as, again, how do I get the cost of additional colors of printing and additional locations, that's where I can't do that in a 90-minute book. By the way, some of this stuff is discussed in my book coming out.
What about rush fees?
Rush fees. As I said before, certain people deserve them and should charge them. Other people, the good people who keep us together, you know, operating,
we take care of them. I mean, some people answer, you know, when the question is, how long does it take, they respond with, when do you need them? And for good, somebody good, we're going to take care of them. The other issue about rush fees is that most companies that charge rush fees make it a percentage, like it's 50% more. I will tell you to add a flat fee and say, okay, well, it's $3 additional per unit, or it's 25 cents per impression, because I have to keep my people in overtime. That argument works most of the year, not pretty well in January, where when they need them in a hurry, they said, okay, 4 o'clock or 5? It's your choice. Other questions? Yes.
At what point can you discover that information regarding different colors in that application?
At what point can we discover the other stuff? Well, nobody in the industry has ever published it. Okay? Nor have I. I'm not trying to sell my products. The correct way to do it is to run your equipment using data. How long it took to run. You're going to get differences on different substrates. If you're an embroiderer, it's a lot easier to decorate a flat panel and golf shirt than it is to do the back of a Carhartt jacket. And you're going to get different, you know, different ratings on how much work it's done in what amount of time and what type of stuff. So, same thing in screen printing. You know, plain white shirts run a lot quicker. You got a black shirt with 4 flashes and red. It's going to run a little slower. You might have to double hit it or send it around twice. So these are the things that come with experience, but they come from data. And if you're trying to get an assessment in your company, I would say you take that measurement for 3 weeks every April, and maybe later in the year. And you establish baseline figures for what your production is costing, which will help you in estimating too. And once you get that data, you can start to assign values to orders, helps you with scheduling, and you can show your employees
what your expectation is of what gets done, and I can tell you there are times where they can do a whole lot more. I'm not suggesting that our employees are jerky, but a couple times a year I'll be on location somewhere on a Friday, and we'll say to the production staff, hey guys, here's your normal schedule. By the way, if you get it done by 1 o'clock, or whenever you get it all done, go home, we'll pay you for the rest of the day. Now, having tried that thing for 25, 30 years, it's never failed to work. Now, I wouldn't expect human beings to work at that pace every day. But when they're cranking and they have the incentive to do it, it's amazing the time off on a Friday will do, especially when it's warm out. And you get a six-pack of beer. They'll be done by 11. Other questions?
How about adding incentives for like coaches? Bring your school to me and I'll show them coaching packages.
Incentives for?
Like coach.
With
abroad? Yeah, right. Wait, do we put that into our fixed costs?
Some people put that in. Yeah, I work with some people who do frequent hire work in schools, and they sell, you know, teams and coaches or teachers. And it's amazing when if they, you know, they buy a certain amount, they get a certain point level, they get like a free color TV, a little one, $60. It's amazing that those little TVs or iPads are shipped to their home address. I guess because they're making sure that they'll be able to deliver it to the school. Right. We're out of time. I'll be here for a few minutes. If you have any questions, if you want to talk to me, I'll be able to stop.